The Cartober fundraising drive is on. Help give back this month by donating your used car, truck, RV, or boat to KPBS. Donating is easy and it's tax deductible. Learn more by visiting us at kpbs.org/car.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Monday, October 27th. A solution is in the works to help Palomar Health through its financial struggles. More on that next, but first, the headlines. Tomorrow, the San Diego City Council is voting on a series of increases to water and sewer rates. The council had been scheduled to vote on the issue a month ago, but delayed a decision to ask for more information. City officials say the rate increases are due to rising water and infrastructure costs. If approved, city water would be $63 more expensive by 2029. Vote centers are now open across San Diego County for the November 4th special election. You can vote in person, drop off a mail-in ballot, use an accessible ballot marking device, and get help voting in multiple languages. Additional vote centers will open on November 1st. Sean Brom is the county's assistant registrar of voters.
There will be less locations open this election than in other elections. So to avoid long lines, please, if you'd like to vote in person, visit one of these vote centers early.
Vote centers will be open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily. Voters can also return their ballots to drop boxes throughout the county. All vote centers, drop boxes, and the registrar's office will close at 8 p.m. on Election Day. The county registrar has received more than 450,000 ballots as of Friday. The San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance appointed a new president and CEO last week. Sean Dixon got the job following a global search. And as it turns out, sometimes what you're looking for is right there in front of you. Dixon has been serving as interim president and CEO for the past 7 months. Prior to that, he was the org's COO for 9 years. He's been credited with the development of major projects at both the San Diego Zoo and Safari Park, like Walkabout Australia and the upcoming Elephant Valley. That's set to open at the Safari Park early next year. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Figuring out the right sport for your kid can feel overwhelming. I'm taking that journey with my son, Dorian, exploring different sports and revisiting the fields that I grew up playing. Together, we're searching for the right fit and maybe reconnecting with a few old memories along the way. It's Game Time Decision, a new series from KPBS. Join us at kpbs.org/gametime.
Palomar Health has agreed to create a joint powers authority with UC San Diego Health. Under the agreement, Palomar would transfer less than 50% of its assets to the JPA, including its Poway Hospital. It also establishes a $50 million line of credit for the district. The move is an effort to improve Palomar's financial position after recent struggles. But board member John Clark says this is the start of the end for Palomar Health, and he abstained from Thursday's vote.
Ultimately, we're going to be owned by UC San Diego Health if everything goes to the planned agreement. Palomar Health essentially is going to go away, and then we will be just a part of the UC San Diego Health District.
Leaders of the two healthcare systems say it is not a takeover. They will work together. They also say the agreement will allow UCSD to expand to North County, and Palomar will be able to expand services. But before that happens, the state of California will need to approve the agreement. The San Diego County District Attorney's Office filed charges on Friday against Poway Council member Tony Blaine. Blaine is charged with 4 felonies and 1 misdemeanor, including perjury, asking for a bribe, and destruction of public papers. He's currently facing a recall election for the same issues that he's been charged with. John Couvrette with the Recall Tony Blaine campaign calls it a vindication.
This is an outcome of good people doing the right thing and saving the good stuff, the good life that we have here in Poway. And that Tony was very quickly in his capacity, tarnishing that way of life that we have here.
Blaine is an Army Reserve doctor who is currently deployed. In the past, his campaign manager had denied the accusations against Blaine. On Friday, campaign manager Steve Marietti said he has no comment at this time. The DA's office says Blaine's arraignment is set for November 3rd. That's the day before the special election. This summer, we brought you the story of a local nonprofit ready to provide a single-family home to veteran women and their children. Military reporter Andrew Dyer says families have now moved in and Wounded Warrior Homes wants to do it again.
Navy veteran Emily Coleman was at a crisis point this summer.
I was like, I don't know how I'm going to finish school and make sure the kids are okay and make sure housing is okay.
The full-time nursing student was ready to quit school to make ends meet when she saw a news story. It said a nonprofit had a single-family home for a veteran just like her.
And I applied.
Coleman moved in last month with her two kids.
And this is our room.
They share the home with another veteran mom and her two kids. Rick Especia is the president and executive director of Wounded Warrior Homes. He says he's proud of what Coleman's been able to do in a short amount of time.
She's doing fabulous. Her children like to tease me.
Coleman's about to graduate and has accepted a nursing job in another state where she and her kids can start over. Especia says they're looking to expand the program. They're also looking for another family to move in early next year. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
Young climate activists say planet warming emissions are affecting their lives. They want polluters to be held accountable. Environment reporter Tammy Merger spoke with San Diego High School students who are pushing for a strategy.
Hours after the Border 2 fire erupted on Otay Mountain in January, ash reached Hilltop High School in Chula Vista. Maria Echevarra is a junior there.
Everyone had like headaches. We saw like the ash kind of like rain and stuff.
Wildfires, floods, and heat waves are becoming more common as climate change intensifies. Echevarria says oil and gas companies are generating pollution that's driving climate change. She says there's a state bill that could hold industries financially accountable.
It is that Superfund that is aimed to make big oil corporations pay for the damages that they have caused.
Echevarria and hundreds of students across California walked out of their classrooms Friday to bring attention to the Polluters Pay Climate Superfund Act of 2025. Students from 19 San Diego County schools were expected to participate.
The money's going to go into the restorative and conservation efforts that the state of California is kind of like hoping to pursue.
University City High School student Haley Ross and her schoolmate Kaylee Tichenor are hopeful lawmakers are listening.
We're showing our leaders that youth are paying attention and we care, and we will not stay silent while our future is on the line.
The proposal remains stalled in state committees. Tammy Merga, KPBS News.
All right, SENN listeners, today is yet another episode of The Pod Behind the Package. Once per week, I'll bring in a reporter, anchor, or video journalist for a behind-the-scenes deep dive and informal chat. With me this week is our brand new East County reporter, Elaine Alfaro. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm doing great. How are you?
Woo, doing good, doing good. Listen, I mean, you are a busy person. You've been working all week long. I feel like they threw you into the, we won't say deep end per se, but we can say medium end. You know, your feet aren't touching the bottom. You're floating.
I'm treading.
You're treading. Talk to me a little bit about your trajectory from undergrad until now. I think it's pretty cool to see someone who majored in something journalism related fully transition and become a reporter. So talk to us for our, you know, our young listeners who maybe want to do the same. Talk to us about your trajectory, some positions you held and so on that really got you in the door.
For sure. I was telling our news director the other day, like I pinch myself every day. I'm like, wow, I can't really believe I'm here. I'm 23 and I'm here, you know, and I truly credit what I learned in my undergrad and the experiences that I was able to step into. I was editor in chief at my school newspaper, which really shaped my ability to tell stories and see people. I also did a series of different internships throughout college at both TV stations, print publications, web publications, and I think all of those experiences really set me up to be able to, you know, hit the ground running my senior year. And so last year was when I graduated from college, and that's when I started working at KPBS as a Gloria Penner Fellow. And that fellowship just really shaped so much of who I am today as a reporter. It was my introduction into public media. It was my introduction into working for a radio station. I had done like, you know, a few audio production classes in college, but really learning how to produce for radio and for audio really just changed everything for me. And I feel like I'm such a big audio nerd now. Like I love it so much, and I love it as much as I love writing, which is really what got me into journalism in the first place.
Yeah, no, I absolutely respect that. I am a product of fellows and a few grants myself. Was there anything in particular that drew you to the East County?
I'm from La Mesa. I grew up in East County, went through public education pretty much through and through in East County. I think there's so many amazing stories that go beyond the city of San Diego. I totally believe in the importance of covering the most central and maybe the most populous city in the county. But I think if we, as a news community in San Diego, could be better about looking out beyond and looking east or looking north or looking south, like that's so important.
Absolutely. And on behalf of the non-born into San Diego people, I want to thank y'all for welcoming me in as well.
You We're know so mean? Glad you're here.
Thanks for having a little room for me as well. You know, it's a popular city full of perfect weather. So thanks for making room. It's been a busy week in Grossmont. It's been a busy week for Elena Faro.
For sure.
You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I would love to tell you a little bit about that.
I appreciate it.
So last school year, at the end of last school year in March, the school board decided to cut all librarian positions in the district. I believe they cut other staff as well, but in particular, community members, students, teachers were concerned about these cuts to the libraries because these are spaces where students go to read, to study, to get resources, to host clubs, to access resources for technology, all these different things. And so many community members and the public protested these actions, but the board ultimately did approve cuts to the librarian position. So fast forward, students came back to school in the fall and no librarians were on campus. The district hired library technicians who are cleared to check out books and maintain collections, but the rest of what a teacher librarian would normally do to make a robust library, that was missing, and students felt it. And so that is what this story is about. This story is about how cuts to libraries tangibly impact students. I had an expert, another person I interviewed. I couldn't include her voice in the story just because I did do so many interviews, but she was really telling me what a district chooses to fund shows what they do or do not care about. And this is someone from the outside speaking into looking at this moment that that district is in.
Schools have had to walk really hard and fine lines around what do they show people that they care about. And that's largely done with budgets. And so this, you know, sort of issue that you bring up around the cutting back of librarians is certainly in many ways the district sharing what they do or do not care about with their dollars.
That clip was from Elaine's interview with Duke professor Keisha Daniels. Thank you to reporter Elena Faro for being my guest for this week's Pod Behind the Package. If you missed her story under the headline, Grossmont Schools Already Feeling Impacts of Library Cuts, check it out at kpbs.org. That is it for the pod today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. Have a great day.
Tired of spending so much time and money on vehicle maintenance and repairs? Make this October Cartober when you donate a car, truck, RV, or boat to KPBS. Go online to kpbs.org/car to make your donation. Thank you.